All right, this morning we want to get into Hebrews 11. We're going to talk about faith again. The Lord always calls you into what he calls you into, and I got to tell you something. There's nothing God will ask of you to do that doesn't require faith. There's no such thing. See, many times we separate, faith. Like, I can do this without God, but I really need God for this, and I want to get this out of your head. When we try to approach stuff in the flesh, even stuff that we could physically maybe do. Do you need the basket? No, these days, did you pass? So we go forth today, and I want to read, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I can do something that requires faith that can be done physically, but if I do it without faith, it's of no spiritual benefit to me. Did you know that? I could put money in the basket. I could go to a foreign country. But I need to work in faith. These are things I can physically do. And I think one of the deceptions of the enemy is we separate our life into practical things that don't require anything. Things we can do on our own, whether God helps us or not. And those other things that really require God. But that is a myth. The righteous man lives by faith in all things. The righteous man lives by faith, no matter what he does. Faith is really, it's not magic, it's God's spirit. And when you do things in faith, it changes the results of what you're doing. It changes your spirit. You've got to understand this morning. So what's important, let's read about it. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And I wrote down a translation for Pastor Mike. I said, truly having faith is really about seeing what God is doing and working in obedience with him. See, here's one of the problems with faith. We've taught it like a superpower, like a comic book superpower. We really have. We taught it like a pixie dust that God sprinkles on you and you can just believe for anything. But the one thing that we understand even about watching Jesus when he was in this earth, Jesus said, I can only do what I see the Father doing. Jesus had perfect faith. But Jesus followed where the Father was going. Now, I'm not trying to wreck your faith in an area, but what I'm trying to explain to you, God wants you to believe for what he is doing. It's particular. A lot of people go, give me faith that I can heal the sick. And I would say this, where God is going to heal the sick and has asked you to go and lay hands on them, go and lay hands on them, follow him, and believe him. This is why we're coming up many times very, very empty in the issue of faith. We believe it's a blanket. We believe that it's something that is just general, and with it we can do great things, when actually the scripture shows us you've got to follow what the Father's doing. You have to follow what the Father's doing. You have to work with what the Father's doing. You've got to believe he's going in that direction, and you're following him. My faith is greatly enhanced and bolstered when I see God working in an area and he says, I need you to work in this area. Then my faith, it not only makes sense, but it's a strength. Are you with me on this? So when it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and this is actually specific. Think about this. The conviction of things not seen. Every one of us in this room has taken a step of faith at one time or the other. An absolute step of faith where you took a step and you knew God was in it. You didn't care what you saw. You didn't care what doubters said. You knew God was doing it, and you stepped forward and you did it, and you were obedient to it. It's interesting. One of the greatest faiths we possess is the day that we get saved and trust in Jesus. It is one of the strongest measures of faith that we will ever make. I believe many people miss the point. They believe that's kind of a minimal faith to get in, and now they need a maximum faith to do a miracle. And again, another myth that is wrongly stated. To save a man's soul is actually impossible for men, but it is possible with God. The exertion of faith that God has given you, and might I add this, because when I got saved, I knew suddenly in a blink of an eye that Jesus was real. I knew that he had died for my sins. I had the whole thing laid out for me in a millisecond. And it was crazy because I didn't know why I was so sure about it, but I was immediately sure about it. And I had been around Catholics. I had been witnessed to, and I know when that issue of faith went forth and I believed in the Son of God, and I changed. That I knew it was real. So I'm trying to, in a sense, get you a hold of something that's really critical for you. Is it possible when we ask God for faith to do some things in any area that we are not even praying for faith specified, but rather, again, we are praying for the comic superpower of faith? Is it possible because we do that, God wants to give you faith in an area. He wants you to believe Him for a specific thing. You're asking for some general faith that you may never use. Isn't it interesting? God is the perfect Father, and He doesn't waste His investments. He doesn't waste His anointing. So if the Father wants you to go in an area, He wants to give you faith for that area. In fact, I believe there's measures of faith that are specified to the actual thing we are about to do. Now, I can tell you right now, I could sit in a room of preachers and Christians, a large room, and large amounts would totally disagree with what I said because they've been taught by a man or a woman or both somewhere that that's not it. And they've been taught faith is a comic book superpower, but not faith is the actual issue that our Father, who is a miracle in Himself, that He has always been and always will be. And it's funny because this is so critical. Why do I want to believe God to doing anything and even things that I'm not going to do when God really wants me to believe Him for the things that He wants to do through me? And what point does that make? And how is that working for me? Get a hold of what God's doing. And even when you are in a situation of your life where there is a challenge, we all will get challenges. And what I mean is, faith is not just about working out some miracle in the street. But I want to say this. I believe this is what God's doing. I believe that Jesus wants to be in the streets. Jesus wants to be in the marketplace, like our brother told you, okay? But it's very important because there are challenges you're going to get that are going to challenge your faith too. You're going to say, God, I believed You for this, and something's going to happen. And you're going to say, look at this situation. I was believing You for this, but this just got more difficult. This got more hard, and I don't understand. I was believing You. Why am I doubting? Well, here's the thing. God is going to allow your faith to be tested, because faith not tested is no faith at all. One of the things about the things God does in us is that all the different things and the attributes and the giftings God gives us are always going to be tested. They are meant to be tested. If you want to believe, and somehow in your mind, belief to you is the absence of never having your belief challenged, that's not really what you're wanting. It's something else. But it's really important. Faith is truly about seeing what God is doing. And as He asks you to join Him, you work in obedience with Him, and you step out in faith. We don't think about it. Like I said, many times we go, I want to do... In fact, the Lord has even bumped me though and said, I want you to do things that could not be done except by God's hand. But I'm also including this because it's important. Because I can do something and just do it, physically do it. And God says, I really want you to operate in faith. And that can be a thing that God has asked me to do. There are commands in the scripture that we do weekly, that we do daily. But even as we do them, we need to have that measure of faith working in us. We don't try this enough, and quite frankly, we don't gauge it like that. I remember the Lord challenging me many times, even with different things I do, praying in the Spirit. He said, do you really believe that does what I say it does? Even the simple things, do you believe that does what I say it does? Because you can go through this religious motion that, quite frankly, is not profitable for anything. In fact, sometimes empty religious motion that is minus faith can make you religious, not anointed. And it's dangerous. I think a religious spirit is one of the most dangerous spirits around, because it tends to be a spirit that numbs us to the reality of God in the areas of our life. And I think true religion, as it says in the scripture, visiting the widows, the orphans, and keeping oneself unstained from the world, this is truly the crux of much of our faith. But God is eager. I want to say this. He's eager to use you. He's eager. The Father wants you to believe Him and to trust Him. The Father wants you to have a specified faith. Again, like I said, why would I get a measure of faith to do anything I want when God really gives me a measure of faith to do the things He has asked? There's a huge difference. And again, there's so much bad teaching on faith out there that many Christians and even leaders don't even have a clue what it really is. Now, I want to say this. As God meets you at your challenges, as God speaks to you in certain particular areas of your life, and He wants you to believe Him, faith is a gift of the Spirit. It is not a human thing. It is not something we drum up. And you'll see it in movies where people talk, I just believe. And it's kind of that invisible factor. And it's interesting because even in the world, they get it right in that it's a thing that appears. I just had faith. But I want to say this. Faith is not invisible. Faith is not aimless. It's not general. Faith comes from the Father. We have to understand this because it's really important that we don't try to get faith where it's not needed. Seriously. Like I said, we many times are so confused with articles of the Bible, and as X-Men came out, and the Avengers came out, different superhero movies came out, I realized, even Harry Potter, I realized it was like this innate power, almost like you were God. And you could exercise it with whatever you wanted. And it was amazing because, again, Jesus himself, and if we are sons of God this morning and daughters of God this morning, Jesus himself said, I can only do what I see the Father doing. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, I could do anything. He said, I can only do what I see the Father doing. And there's a die cast there. There's a pattern. And this is what it's really about. I don't care for you to generally believe for anything. I care for you to say, Father, I want to know what you're doing in my life. I want to know where you want me to believe. I want to follow you in obedience. And I want to believe for that. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord will shock you. He will come through. He will absolutely come through. But we got to find where he's going sometimes. You know, and I want to say this too. What is wrong with hit and miss? You know, I look at even situations in our brother was telling a story about a man he, you know, went to pray for, and even before he could get a word out, you know. I've had people speak to me about don't preach to me or something that I approached. I never said I was a Christian. I had no religious articles in my hand. And before I even said it, I began getting cursed out in the name of God being defiled. But even with such a thing, you know, does God lead us to give a man a chance? Does God lead you to witness to somebody that shoots you down? When they shoot you down, do you believe you miss God? This is another thing I find interesting when it comes to faith. So many times when we do an endeavor and something goes wrong, people say, oh, that wasn't God. Well, there are times we will do endeavors and we can honestly say, that just wasn't God. But there are other times where that failure doesn't mean it wasn't God at all. But it means it was a failure in what he was doing, and we did not follow him. And we have to also be all right with the miss. You go to pray for somebody, they don't get healed, that's fine. Then go ahead and pray for the next person. You feel God's leading you into an area and you need to believe him and something fails, it is not an indictment on faith or where God is going. You know, it's interesting, when you hear stories about Reinhard Bonnke, and he's did the, you know, million man revivals in Africa. And what's interesting, there was a point to where Reinhardt was preaching to a small audience under 50, easy, and was standing out in the rain and doing the things in faith that God was leading him. Can you imagine with some of these people that did these things, if they would have actually went out there a few weeks and said, oh, God's not in this. When your faith is tested, it is not really up to us to say, well, I'm kind of bummed out because I believed God, he didn't come through, and I guess God's not doing anything. Your faith is going to be tested. Don't shrink from being tested. Don't feel like it's a bad thing. When I was a young Christian, I absolutely asked God to set me up with a faith that wouldn't be tested, and a faith that was certain, and I would never have to deal with it. And doubt would never be allowed to even get near me. But again, we learn as we grow. There's nothing good about that. You know, there are sometimes God has asked you to take a step in faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You've taken a step, and that period between the step and the reward can be great. And that whole time, there's no doubt the enemy grinds at you and tries to tell you how you believed in vain, how what you're doing will not amount to a hill of beans. How could you? How could you believe God for that? The journey of faith is from the time that we believe to the time that God brings what it is we have believed for is probably one of the most crucial stretches in our faith, seriously. Now, I'm not trying to freak you out. I've seen people go into foreign countries and it took them 14 years to really make an impact. And up to that point, they weren't sure if they heard God right at all. Because isn't it easy when you're waiting for the fulfillment to kind of go, I don't see anything, I don't feel anything. In fact, what I feel is doubt, what I feel is discouragement. I know I had a lot of faith when I started. And I've seen many men and women of God completely defeated only because they just allowed their eyes to see what they thought they understood. And they left their place of trusting. They left their faith place of believing God. One of the biggest challenges we have, too, is, let's be honest, we believe God for things, but we also, like I said, we get into things that we train for, we're qualified, and we kind of go, I went through a lot to do this, therefore this will make this happen. Even then, the Father wants you to say, you know, I did train, I am qualified, but Father, you're really the one that opens doors. You're really the one that makes things change. God wants glory. He won't share his glory with any other. And I want to encourage you with this. Now, verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. I want to explain something. Many times teachers go, you know, God needed faith to do things. But here's kind of the problem. The Father is the very, his being, the Holy Spirit, the Son, their existence is eternal. You with me? So they themselves are a miracle of their existence. It's interesting when you get into the Holy Spirit and the Trinity, the third person, Father, Son, Spirit, his existence, the way it states in the language in the scripture, is existence in itself is a miracle. God's very being, and he's always been and always will be, he is the very fountain of faith. So when it says the Father created the worlds out of which, now this is an amazing thing. We live in a created order. The Father created out of nothing. It's his mind. It's his imagination. So he spun out the galaxies. He spun out the cellular, molecular, atom, every level of cell, every level of existence, everything of biology, he spun it out from nothing. It's easy for you to imagine things. You know why? You have all these things around you that give you ideas to create. The Father brought something out of nothing, and I'm explaining this for a reason. Something this should do to you is encourage you, because the Father, because of who he is, the creator of the universe, he himself loves to birth stuff in your life out of nothing, out of absolutely nothing. Not what you can imagine, not the lines of confluence that you think you understand, not the lines of supply that you think you understand. The Father loves to bring things as if they're out of thin air. You know, many times I've heard Christians testify and stuff happens and they're stunned because they didn't see it coming. They didn't see it coming. And oftentimes when I hear them testifying, I go, that's a mark of God. Of course you didn't see it coming. Because the Father brings something out of nothing. He created the earth out of nothing. He didn't shape something that was there. It was not there. When you're in a situation where you cannot see and you go, I'm exhausted, I can't see God working, I'm discouraged, there's just nothing around me, nothing I see that could possibly light up and make this happen. I really believe that screams the Father, the creator of the universe, the Father. And it is meant to encourage you. Because I even believe in Hebrews in this 11th chapter when it talks about him creating something out of nothing. It gives us a pattern that the Father does. His very being is full of faith in its very existence. I want to say this too. Another thing, as you interact with God and you fellowship with him in your prayer and you fellowship with him in your worship, I want to explain something. Even fellowshipping with the miraculous Father, who is miraculous even in his existence, does build your faith. But I want to say something. Faith is part of our covenantal relationship with the Father. The reality of even when we say, Lord, increase my faith, we need to say, Lord, increase my intimacy with you. Because as I touch you, as I behold your glory, I will grow in faith. Many times we treat faith as a separate subject that we wish to believe. And the Father wants to draw near to him. He wants to spend time with you. And you spending time with the Father in his presence, and you know you are in his in the place of his presence, that even in of itself will start to increase your faith. But again, back to the comic book superpower. We're so used to, we want innate giftings, almost like, you know, we can do whatever we want with them. And honestly, it's interesting. I go into different countries, and our mindset with faith is interesting. It's very, very different than most of what I hear in other countries. Unless I go into other countries where Westerners have come in and infected their doctrine and hurt it. Many times I've seen this. But you need to start to understand this. Fellowship with the Father. If you're lacking faith, sometimes I go, God, and I've done this, God, help me to believe for this situation. And I know the Lord wants to give me faith for the situation. But instead of the Father just, you know, sprinkling some pixie dust on me, and I go, I believe. He wants me to be with him. But isn't it funny, even in tough times, what starts hurting? A lot of times when we're in tough times and we get discouraged, our prayer minimizes. Our intimate time with the Father minimizes. Our worship minimizes. I remember early on in my faith just getting in bad situations and I couldn't pray. I didn't want to read my Bible. It was hard to spend time with the Father because I was so consumed with what was going on in my life. I was so bummed out. And it's funny, the very things that I needed to do to boost my faith, these were the things I was not doing. Now, another aspect I want you to understand this. The devil knows really well about faith. He understands it really well. He also understands he doesn't want you tying in with the Father. The devil's going to fight you on intimacy. He's going to fight you on your personal altar of worship. He's going to fight you very big time on spending time with the Father. In fact, he's going to keep the people of God talking about God, but not meeting with God. In fact, I believe there's kind of an opiate with the Christians in America to where we kind of get high alone on just talking about God. But actually getting with God is minimal. I look at church statistics and about pastors even and about Christians. And the amount of time beholding his glory is less than 5 minutes a day, maybe less. In personal worship, forget it. You want to clear out a church, just do long worship and do prayer meetings. And I guarantee you can reduce your population by 70% within a month. Isn't that interesting? The very thing that God uses to build our faith, to see the miraculous and the supernatural, is the very thing the enemy hits in the church. So by the time we're done, we're just talking. That's all we're doing. Now, I love to talk about the Lord, and I have an accountability partner, and if we're together, we're talking things of our faith all the time. But it's interesting. Just, you know, this thing that God is inviting you into to join him. And then it says in verse 2, for by it the men of old gained approval. Now, what's interesting about this, it says faith pleases God, right? And we can't please God without faith in verse 6. And, you know, so many times we are so confused between the positional righteousness, the blood of Jesus bought me, I understand that. But the relatable righteousness of, can I please the Father or can I displease the Father? The answer is yes to both. I can please and displease the Father. Also, I can move with the Spirit of God or I can grieve the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, we see these truths declared. So God wants you to believe him. God wants to give you a measure of faith. You may be in a situation that tugs at your heartstrings. It tears you up. And I would say this to you. These are the very situations that invite faith. These are the situations where God truly wants to change things. But it is important that you're believing him. Now I want to go to verse 4. It says, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Now, I want you to understand something, because we know Cain killed his brother Abel. And we know when the Lord said, hey, where's your brother Abel? What did Cain do? Hey, I'm not my brother's keeper, even though he murdered his brother. And he said, his blood cries out from the ground to me. You know, we say we are mortal beings, our flesh, right? We have an eternal being that's going to go on forever. It's the way God has made us. But I think about the two of them. One is agriculture, the other is putting up a sacrifice of livestock. And the difference was Cain did an offering. Isn't it interesting? It's the same motion. One does it in faith, one does it not with faith. So even though Cain knew to offer up whatever his produce was, when he did it, he didn't do it in such a way to where he really believed he was doing it to God. Now think about this. Cain's sin really starts with he gives something to God, and quite frankly, he has no faith as he gives it. This is a scary thing, because now we know that this led to his countenance falling and jealousy because his brother's sacrifice was accepted. But the whole issue starts in faith. Isn't it interesting? The whole downfall. Somebody goes, I've asked people, what is the downfall of Cain? They say, jealous of his brother. I'm like, no, first, actually, he had no faith when he did his offering. That's where it actually started. Now, it's interesting because you have to think about something. How many things do we do to the Lord per day? How many times are we serving the Lord? And then ask the second question. When we do the things that God has asked of us, are we doing them in faith? Knowing that God sees, knowing truly this is his will, knowing this is what he wants, knowing that we are doing the right thing by heaven. Even early on, Abel has this down, Cain does not. Same parents, same ability to be taught, same understanding of the Creator. And already, right away, first two kids, faith and doubt, right away. Part of the fallen nature of man, no doubt about it. I want you to think about something. I want you to analyze this. In my life, I do things, and I've got to tell you something. Many times I check myself and I say, I'm doing this, it's to the Lord, is it truly in faith? Do I know that faith pleases God? Is this the way I prioritize my life? Think about this. And this is the very issue that we start to pick at and start to understand. This is why it's important that you ask God, bolster my faith in my prayer time. Bolster my faith in serving you. Bolster my faith in my giving. Bolster my faith. Let me find what you're doing. And I will, in obedience, I will grab onto it and I will follow you and we will do it. I will do it with you, Father. And you know what happens when you do that? You see the Father doing something and then you do it. Well, you sound like Jesus because now you're doing what you see the Father doing. Thus, the sonship issue, sons and daughters of God, is so connected to actually doing what we see the Father doing. It's the same as Jesus. In fact, when Jesus said that, he was saying, do you want to walk as sons and daughters of God? You're going to only be able to do what you see the Father doing, because if he's not doing it, I don't care what you believe, it's not happening. There's a beautiful thing about that sonship. There is an amazing thing about that sonship. So we start asking God, what is the area that I need more faith in? You know, I've seen people that had prayer ministries and they knew that they prayed to God. They knew that God heard them. They were intercessors and they took hours a day doing this and they had total faith and they eagerly ran up to the room in the closet to get in there with the Father. And I, even as a young Christian, questioned, you know, can you really just pray? You know, it seemed kind of hollow. Well, that's ridiculous. It's not hollow. But as they prayed in faith, because had they did all that time and it was some kind of contraption of man, they didn't even believe God was hearing, they didn't even believe it was needed to pray, the reward would have never come. Think about this. Now, I'm not asking you to get hyper-analytical today and doubt yourself. That's, in fact, this is about believing, not doubting. But I'm asking you to ask the Lord. And then, you know, I don't believe the Lord gets angry if you say, I'm really struggling, Father, with this area. I really need faith because I know you're in it. God will bolster your faith. He'll show you something. In your spirit, he'll show you something. He'll show you what you need to see. The Father will lift your spirit up. If you feel like your faith well is evaporated, if you truly come and say, Father, refill this. Because I actually believe the Father is thrilled when we understand this and when we come to him. Who's the doubter? Satan's the doubter. Who's the one that tries to attack our faith? Satan. Who tries to get us to walk in unbelief? The enemy. In fact, isn't it interesting when he deals with Eve, one of the things he says is, you know, he accuses God of lying, number one, but he also says, you know, you will not die. Think about her faith and the knowing she heard the Father. And actually with Eve, it's very direct. But we also see the power of doubt. Because when Eve disbelieves and actually believes the serpent, and she's not having faith in the Lord, she's having faith in what the serpent says. But, you know, we think that's so heavy. How many times has the serpent whispered in your ear and you bought it? Seriously. And it moved you to actions that were contrary to what God wanted. Faith is going to be in every issue, under every cover, and under every step that we take. It's going to be critical and crucial. But we have, with our American Christianity, we believe there's an alternate route, and then there's a faith route. And many times we walk in a way to where we somehow believe it's acceptable, it works, but it doesn't. What are you believing for? What do you put your faith in? I want to read down at 8, and I'm almost done here. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. You know, how many of you have had the leading of God into areas? And you knew you were going this direction because God said, go, I'll show you something. Go, I'll give this something to you. I'm going to do something. But in many ways, you weren't sure where it was heading out to. I have friends and I look at their lives and God has been bringing them through seasons and seasons and training them. And many times they weren't sure about tomorrow. And to them, maybe they thought this is wandering aimlessly. But really, God had them on a journey and he was trying to get them to the next place. Think about this for a bit. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Here's the other thing. Faith leads you to places, guys. It'll bring you to places to follow, and you will get there, but you may have to live in a tent temporarily before it's all set up. And even as you get into the area where you believe God has led you, it will seem undeveloped. It will seem even wild, maybe. It will seem like, you know, I feel so temporary here. But God's going to bring something to you that he wants to do. Last but not least is one of my favorite. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Now, I want to bring Sarah back into this a little bit, and this is my last point. Think about this. What did Sarah do when the Lord visited? Do you remember the tent with Abraham?
She laughed.
So, I'm trying to understand something. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. There's a beautiful part here. Sarah laughed at that. When God spoke that, Sarah laughed. Remember? And he said, "You laughed." And she said, "No, I didn't." And he said, "Yes, you did." Now, if you ever wonder when you see your kids do that, and you go, "You know, why'd you hit your brother?" And he says, "No, I didn't." And you watch him just smack his brother. That's very human, okay? Sarah did that. But here's the beautiful thing about Sarah. She received ability to conceive beyond the proper time. She's, what is it, 90? I mean, menopause had, I'm going to assume the Lord way made, I don't know how the plumbing worked back then. They were living to 900 years. But I'm going to say this. Conception, it's an interesting thing. How does Sarah go from laughing to believing? How does Sarah go from laughing to considering him faithful who had promised? This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is the last angle that I want to hit. Sarah gets into this thing, guys. She starts laughing and she ends up believing. Here's an interesting thing. Many times, God will show you something and you do laugh because it seems ridiculous. It seems completely something that cannot be done. And we go from laughing to believing that he who promised is faithful. Now, I'm not encouraging you to laugh at the Lord. In fact, I really say stay away from it if you can. But there is a journey between the time God says, "I'm going to do this, Barbara. I'm going to do this, Melissa. I'm going to do this thing." And we hear it, and it just seems absurd. It seems absurd. It seems like foolishness. And sometimes what God does to people, he takes from the time that he speaks the promise to you and you begin to move, even when you laugh, he's going to take you. He wants to take you from that to believing that faithful is he who promised. Another thing about faith is about divine vision, not human vision. So many times I see Christians and even pastors, they get on these building things and they're doing this and they talk about believing in God and they're doing a blanket statement. God may have called them to do what they're doing. I've seen it sometimes where the Lord hadn't called anything they were doing. But they're believing for that thing, like belief is a magic power. But what you have faith in also dictates the quality of your faith. When people say, "Just believe," actually, no offense, it may psychologically give you a boost, but simply believing in nothing or belief in of itself is empty. What you have faith in greatly dictates what the faith is made of, whether it's of man or of God. Because the world does have a faith of sorts. But God has a version of faith that absolutely is superior and eternal and divine in its very nature. I have laughed, and then I have believed that he was faithful who promised. Let me explain something. We're going to get up and pray right now. And there's a couple kinds of ways you might be today. I don't read minds, so I don't pretend to know everything. I don't even know. I know a little bit of things. Sometimes doubt has taken a toll on your life because you have seen with your eyes that which is painful. That which has shaken what you once believed. God does want to restore. He wants to restore your faith. He wants to show you something. And I want to tell you something. There are some times where things happen. And the term I've heard a lot through all my years is, you know, I'm really doubting. Well, Here's my problem with some of that. Is the circumstance what got you doubting? And if it is, boy, I got to tell you something. There's an eyes of faith you need to get. Nobody can tell me truly that they understand the future or what any one thing is going to do unless they've really heard it from God. Failure certainly will not dictate what I believe, because if that's the case, then no Christian in this book called the Bible would have ever made it to the other side. Well, you're going to have to let go of circumstances, and you're going to have to let go, and here's another thing, what you think you understand versus what God has given you to understand can be a huge difference. But we cling to this stuff really tight, so sometimes God has to get his hand on your hand and get your grip to release. Not to offend anybody, but we're not that smart when it comes to the future. And we're not as insightful as the Father. He knows all things. Father, as we dismiss from this place today, faith, it's so critical that we have it. It's so critical that we understand what it is, what it isn't. Lord, help us. We live in a Western society where self is so important that many times people want to have some kind of innate power in a way that you don't even describe it in the scripture. But Father, you do want to give faith to your people. And you do want the miraculous to happen. But Father, you want to give us a specified faith. Because the reality of being sons and daughters of God is we can only do what we see the Father doing. You are the governor, the Lord. You are the absolute creator. And so even today, we want to see what you are doing. I pray, lastly, but definitely not, it's high priority, that the trials that have come that have caused doubt to arise, let the doubt be evaporated. The things that try our belief, Lord, one thing you don't ever do is give us doubt. It's just your very being is faith in of itself. Your very existence is a miracle and faith in of itself. Help us to grasp this today. And Lord, when the challenges come, where is the declaration of faith out of our mouth? Lord, many times we get challenged and we won't not only declare, but we declare doom. We declare doubt. We declare death versus life versus faith. Truly, there's a reckoning, God, for your people in this country to wake up and to quit letting circumstances do all the speaking. Because, Lord, there are so many words from circumstance in the church in America that it's incredible, when truly the thing that is needed is a measure of faith. Lord, as one man, good man, a great man of God that I've heard, faith is not ignoring the facts, but it is looking at the facts through the lens of truth. So even as we close today, I pray a blessing and an encouragement for those who have been robbed and hit, and the enemy just is in their ear to doubt, and showing them what they're supposed to look at so they can doubt some more. Lord, that there would be a full-out rejection of the voice of doubt, a full-out rejection of the voice of doubt. Touch us this morning. Bless us this morning. Be with us this morning in the name of Jesus. And might men and women of true faith rise in this congregation. Might they rise and believe that dream you had given them, that promise you had given them, that thing you spoke. Maybe you spoke it 10 years ago, but a day is 1,000 years is as a day with you. Lord, you are never late. You might be late, but you're always on time. And as we wait, that journey between the promise and when it's fulfilled can be sometimes a very trying period of time. But let it build our faith, not wreck our faith. Lord, it's not like you say you're going to do something and then 5 minutes later you do it. Lord, I've waited for promises for a decade. I've waited for promises a long time, and you bring them. You are good if you have promised to do what you said you would do. We declare that today. We declare that today. Help us to eliminate the voice of doubt that seems logical, that so many times tries to come in. And Lord, the enemy is thrilled when we doubt. So I pray even today, remove doubt, remove fear in the name of Jesus. Fill your sons and your daughters with true faith. I pray a lifting of doubt, that cloud, and I do pray an instilling of a fresh fire and fresh faith. Help us to get with you. Lord, sometimes we need to spend time with you in prayer. We need to be with you. That will bolster our faith. We need to see you in our spirits. That will boast our faith. It will boost it. It will boost it, Father. Even as we go today, Father, your promises are yea and amen, not maybe and possibly. And I love that. You are the surest thing in the entire universe, Father. And we declare that and we believe that today as we go. We pray in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm.